Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. This teaching is going to be on the believer's authority. Now, we will be teaching you the authority of the believer in Christ. If you're a Christian, you can do great and mighty things that most of us don't know. It took me a long time to learn this. Now, at the end of this teaching, there will be a website and a phone number where you can get these teachings in their entirety, and they will be free and postpaid. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
Seven others in my two, nine awesome miracles in 1 month in Cook's Medical Center. What do you think God would do if we all start believing like this? Isn't He awesome? He wants to do good things. What is it we don't understand about the fact that Jesus said, as the Father has sent me to do His will, He sent me to cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead, and to save the lost. As the Father sent me to do His will, I am sending you to do the same thing. Boy, have we been disobedient Christians. If God sent the Father to do His will on earth, and then Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And we have done a miserable job. I'll have to say that the first 45 years of my life, I'd have hated to die and went to heaven. Because when I would have got there, the King wouldn't have had nothing good to say to me. He would have said, well, son, I had a great big toy box full of toys over there for you, but you didn't claim any of them, so come in. Come in. The devil deceived you. But now then, one day when I'm translated to heaven, all I want the King to say when I walk in is, well done, son. That's all I want to hear, don't you, Dale? All I want to hear. I'm going to be out there teaching the Word, and I don't care what. I mean, just like a young lady called me yesterday, and she said, Thurman, I'm going to make a little talk this week, and a pastor has told me that what I'm going to talk on is absolutely not the truth. She said, what should I do? I said, you go and you make the talk, and you make the talk totally based on God's Word. If everything you say is God's Word, and I said, just to make sure you're okay, I will come to it myself. I will be there. And she said, oh, I would greatly, greatly appreciate your support. And I said, if there's another pastor there, and he gives, and he probably won't be, but I said, if he is, and you're making statements that are sticking with the Word, I said, then me and him might have to have a little conversation. Because as long as she's teaching what the Word says, he has no authority to say anything. You say what the Word says. Now, realize that this woman's been in my church for a year and a half now, 2 years almost. Her husband was miraculously healed, and she was delivered from demons. She didn't learn that in the church either. But she got delivered from demons, and her husband, which was on his deathbed 7 years ago when I was asked to come to their home, I went to their home, found out what their sin was. At that time, they were Methodists, and John, their Methodist preacher, was there that day. He sat through 4 hours of my teaching with that family, and at the end, I said, Brother John, I've now got the sins confessed. I'm fixing to cast this demon out of this man, and I'm going to lay my hands on him, and Jesus is going to heal him. I said, would you like to take part in it with me? He looked at me, and I said, first of all, could I ask, do you disagree with anything I've said today? He said, how could I? Everything you said, you backed it up with a word. He said, yes, I'll lay hands on him with you. And we did, and that man that was on his deathbed with a highly incurable disease, which is only one or two cases of it a year, and a Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, which there is no cure for, was miraculously healed. And in 1 week, he is out driving his tractor. And he comes to church here every Sunday today. Isn't that wonderful? God's Word works. Now then, if you're going to church somewhere and you're not seeing a few signs and miracles and wonders, you're in a church that the pastor is not teaching God's Word. He may be teaching parts of it, but he's not teaching all of it. Now, if he's afraid to teach God's Word, the power of it, then you're not going to see any signs and miracles and wonders, because God will only confirm what the man standing up here is willing to teach with power and authority. If you're willing to teach His Word, He will confirm what He says with healings and signs and miracles and wonders. If you're not willing to teach it, then he don't show up. He's not going to go over the shepherd's head in his church to do something. He's just not going to do it. And that's a shame. But that's the way it is. It's a little bit tough. Now then, we have all our needs met, according to Philippians 4:19, after you've tithed. So many people claim that's another one of the spiritual blessings. Lord, first question out of my mouth when I see somebody or somebody calls says, Thurman, I'm in a financial crisis. I need a financial miracle. My first question is, are you going to church? Well, yes, I go sometimes. Are you tithing regularly? Well, no, I don't have enough money to tithe. I said, well, then that's why you don't have a financial, that's why you need a financial blessing. Because you're a thief and you're stealing from God. God is not going to bless you as a thief. Isn't that just normal? Would you bless anybody with stealing out of your pocketbook every week? No, would you? No, I don't think so. I wouldn't. People say, well, God don't command us to tithe in this day and age. One of us is reading a different book. One of us is reading a different book. I can show you in the Old and the New Testament where he commands us to tithe. In fact, I can show you in the Old Testament where he commanded you give him 10% of everything, and I can show you in the New Testament where he commands you to tithe, and not only that, but now since the blood of Jesus come, he commands you to be a giver, and giving goes beyond the tithe. So, if he demanded a tithe from the blood of bulls and goats, what do you think he demands for his son's blood? Ooh. I mean, I think his son's blood was worth a whole lot more than 10%. It sure did give me a whole lot more than the bulls and goats did. It gave me power over sin. It gave me power over the devil. It gave me power over sickness and disease. And it gave me everything I need to live an abundant life. But I've got to know it. And that's what's wrong with the church. We don't know these things. So, then we are in Christ. In other words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can you imagine you're carrying around Jesus Christ inside of you all the time? He's in you. He's in you. We are redeemed, according to Ephesians 1:7. We are redeemed. Wow. We're redeemed from sin. Redeemed from the curse. We're redeemed from the blood. By the blood. We don't understand the magnificence of that magnificent statement. I've been redeemed. Your sins have been remitted. When you come to Christ, how many of your sins were washed away when you came to Christ? All. What is it we don't understand about? All. All were washed away. So now then, if all of your sins were washed away when you come to Jesus and you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, do you have to say you were 30 years old? Say when you was 18 years old, all you did was all kinds of wild things, wicked things, commit adultery or fornication, and you lied, you stealed, you cheated, you did all kinds of things, and then at 30 you come to Christ. How many of your past sins do you have to commit or have to confess? None. None of them. Not none of them. God don't ask you to confess none of them. When you come to Christ and get saved, every sin you committed is under the blood, and it's washed away. I'm going to tell you, most of us can't remember the sins we committed before we come to Christ. If I had to commit every sin I'd ever committed before I come to Christ, I wouldn't even know what they were. I couldn't remember them. But He remitted our sins and washed them all away and put them as far as the east is from the west. So now then, if every sin we committed when we come to Christ, whether it be 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, whatever it was, every sin in your background was washed away, and He delivered you out of the kingdom of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son, according to Colossians 1. You become a believer. You become a child of the King. What should you do with those sins that was in past? Should you forget them? Absolutely. Forget them. They're under the blood. Don't ever talk about them. Don't give God, don't give the devil no glory. Don't come to church and tell me I want to give, stand up here and tell you all the things that Jesus done for me. I want to tell you how wicked a sinner I was. I want to tell you how bad I had it on drugs. I want to tell you how the devil beat up on me. I don't want to hear it. I want you to tell me what he's done since you got cleaned up. That's what I want to know. What Jesus has done. I don't want you to stand up here and tell me how bad you was. I don't want you to stand up here and tell me how many men and women you went to bed with. I don't want to hear that nonsense. If you got a testimony and you start telling me all that stuff, I'm going to say, forget it. I'm going to stand right up and tell you, stop it. Tell me what he's doing now. I don't want to know what the devil did in your life. We know he came to kill, steal, and destroy. I want you to tell me what has happened magnificently in your life since you come to Jesus. I want to give God glory in my church, amen, not the devil. Now then, if you sin, which you're not supposed to, after you become a believer. Now see, I didn't know that for most of my life. I was beat up on by a denominational church that said I'm just an old, unworthy sinner. And we sin all the time. Well, let me tell you, that's a lie. You're not an unworthy sinner. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, and the Word of God says you're not supposed to sin at all. Now then, what if you do mess up? What can you do? You can come to the Lord, according to 1 John 1:9, and immediately confess what you've done as sin and ask the Lord to forgive you, and He will restore you to fellowship. But now when you confess that sin, what does He say? Go and sin no more. What is it we don't understand about that? Go and sin no more. See, every believer should be in church somewhere every Sunday. Every time there's a door open, wherever you attend, you should be there. You should be tithing, you should be worshiping, you should be praising, and wherever you work, you should be talking about Jesus. You should be giving Him the glory. You should walk into your workplace praising the King, saying, Lord, I thank You and praise You for all these spiritual blessings You've given me. When these things become a reality to you, you can't not do that. It's impossible for you not to give God glory when you begin to get a hold of this list we're going through right now. When you realize that all these things are yours. Then in First John 3:2, he says, we're sons of God. Do you know what it means to be a son of God? You've been made an equal with Jesus. Now, if you're a woman, you're a daughter of God.
We'll have to stop the teaching right there today, but we will take up right there tomorrow. We hope you will join us again tomorrow for the continuation of the teaching on the believer's authority. Now, if you'd like to have this teaching in its entirety, we would be happy to send it to you free and postpaid if you will call this phone number, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or if you'll contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org, www.tlsm.org. We'll be happy to send you these teachings free and postpaid. I hope you've enjoyed and will continue to enjoy the teachings on the believer's authority. Remember, they're free and postpaid to those that call.